Are we there? You can hear me? That might not be so good. So, excuse me. Preparing for this message, what in the world am I going to talk about? Usually the idea comes to me that I need to talk about what I need to hear. That this is mostly for me. This is what I need. It's not that I'm any kind of example or any kind of righteousness. Oh, but no. Absolutely not. But a few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with my father. I've talked to him on the phone for a few times. Prior to that, it was about 15 years since I've spoken a word to my father. And so it was a time of healing and a time of rebuilding a broken relationship. Time of bonding, and it's very difficult for me because he is staunch LDS, and he was doing more talking than I, and he was talking about the gospel, and my heart was aching because from studying the Word, I know that this is another gospel. It's a gospel of works, a gospel of self-righteousness, a gospel of things that he has to do to make himself good with God. And we know in Galatians it talks about another gospel. And that absolutely frightens me. Not only for my father, but for my mother and for my sister, for all of my family, all of my cousins. Yeah, huh. Yes. It is frightening, it's horrifying, it's a fearful thing to be in the hands of God without somebody in between. So this gospel, this good news is what the word means. It's an old English term, good news. I needed to find it and renew it and put it in my head so that I could help heal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I didn't do my bookmarks. First Corinthians chapter 15, but first, let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for transmitting it through time and dropping it in our laps like some love song. Thank you for the wonderful gift that it is indeed translated correctly, and that we can open it up, and that you can speak to us through your word. And if we hear anything that doesn't match with your word, we know that we can throw it away. Father, thank you for the efforts of those that are translating it into new languages so that the gospel can go out, because we know that your word will not go out and return void, that it will accomplish your will. And Father, forgive us for neglecting your word, for taking it for granted. Bless us, bless me, Father, put your words in my mouth. Listen to me, more of you. Have your way here in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory that I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to Scriptures, and that he was seen by many. This is the gospel. 3 points. 3 points here, amen, yes, that Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried. That means he was dead. He was really dead. That he wasn't just pretending to be dead. That he swooned or that it was somebody else. He was dead. And that he was raised again on the third day, according to scriptures. And people saw him. They saw the resurrected Jesus. All of this according to scriptures. And what a fascinating journey that's been for me personally. I hope I haven't bit off more than I can chew, but hey, we got all afternoon, right? Let's see. Let's go to Isaiah 53. According to scriptures. Starting in, let's start in chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently and shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And as many as were astonished at his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So he shall sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's some important prophecies being fulfilled in Christ Jesus from this passage, according to Scripture. Another one, Psalm 16. This is a quick one. Psalm 16, 8 through 11, starting at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Jesus was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb for 3 days, but God did not allow his holy son to see corruption, to decompose. But instead, he raised him again on the third day, according to scriptures. Now, why is this good news? Why do we need someone to die for our sins? I'm a good person, right? I'm a good guy. Well, let's just check and see. Let's see if we're good people. Let's do a test. Has anybody ever told a lie? Yes. Okay, let's do another one. Has anybody ever taken something that didn't belong to you? That's two. Guilty. Has anybody ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Guilty. That's like three. There's 10 more. There's 613 total. And if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. That's what it says in the Bible. So we are lying thieves and blasphemers. For a start, we're guilty. We are sinners. We are guilty. And the Bible says, Romans 3:10, Psalm 14, the Bible says, there is none righteous. No, not one. None righteous. And James 2:10, can't read my writing. It says that if you're guilty of breaking one commandment, one law, you're guilty of breaking them all. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, all, and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. We are in trouble. Well, just a little sin, just a little lie, and it wasn't a very big thing that I took. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Now, years ago I worked as a horseshoer, with a horseshoer, in conjunction with a veterinarian, and as he was training me on these certain points, the different treatments for the different equine diseases. If he's got a bowed tendon, shoot him. If he's got wing bone, shoot him. If he's got colic, shoot him. This, shoot him. Well, that's not entirely true, but from his perspective, I can remember him teaching me that that was what you did with these lame, broke down old horses. You shoot them. Well, if the wages of sin is death, if it's a little sin, are you just a little dead? I remember some corny movie, he's mostly dead? No. No. That's not how it works. But if we continue reading on in Romans chapter 6, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our wages is what we earn. That's what we do. Do we really want to be rewarded according to our works? Our evil deeds? The wages of sin is death. But instead we have this gift that's not earned, that we don't deserve. Now in Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, Matthew 22. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's the first. The second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, how do we do with these two commandments? Jesus has condensed it down, simplified it. How do we do with that? Do we love God with all our heart? Is there one moment in the day where God is not on our mind? Yes. I don't need to go on there because I know I'm guilty of that. How about love your neighbor as yourself? How about that one? How about merging onto I-15 and this guy thinks he's going to merge ahead of you at 55 miles an hour? What is your internal discourse? I love you so much. No, not at all. We fail. I fail. We got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Provo, we have a problem. American Fork, we have a problem. So back to this good news. Christ died for our sins. This is Jesus. Jesus did this. We don't do this. We don't earn it. We can't be good enough. It's a done deal. He said, it is finished. We can't do more good than the bad that we've done. We can't unlie the lies that we've said. We can't unspeak the blasphemies. We can't undo it. If we go to a judge in a courtroom and say, yeah, well, you know, I did do this bad thing, but look at all the good I've done. I helped a little old lady across the street several years ago, and I put $2 in the offering box. See, I'm a good person. How do you think the judge will respond to that? Good. Now, let's deal with your crime. There is not a balance. There is not a scale where our good works outweigh our bad works. We can't do it. The second point of the gospel, that he was buried. He was dead. Yeah, not pretend dead or mostly dead. Not an imposter, as some have said. He didn't swoon and was kind of dead and come back. He was absolutely dead. This was Jesus. And then on the third day, the third point of this gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that he was raised. That means he's not dead. He was dead, now he is not. He is alive. It was public. He was seen by many. He is risen. There we are. He is indeed, truly, he is risen. That means we pray to, we worship, we honor a living God, and his name is Jesus. Where to now? I did this mostly on Monday, so I had the day off and was able to take care of this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I do depend heavily on the Word of God because I can't come up with anything clever or anything new. So I really depend on the Word of God. Let's start in verse 1, shall we? Ephesians chapter 2. And you, he hath quickened. who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who would that be? Satan. The spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had in our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That sounds like me. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Whose grace? His. And his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were dead in sins, yet we are alive through Christ. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted, it was imputed, it was credited, it was given to him righteousness. It's not that he was such a great guy, that he was so righteous. He believed God, and it was given to him righteousness. That's in Genesis 15, verse 6, and Romans, verse 4. He believed God. And the point in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, it's not of yourselves. We don't do it. We don't earn it. We can't run fast enough, jump high enough, pay enough money, pray loud enough, have our teeth cleaned enough to earn it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it, and it is finished. And it's not from good works and not from ordinances. It's the gift of God. It's unearned. You don't earn a gift. Otherwise, it's wages. It's undeserved. It's unearned. It's done, and it's not of ourselves. I didn't do this. You didn't do this. We can't do this. It's not earned. It's not bought. It's not owed. It's not deserved. I must mention repentance. Now, there's a whole sermon in this, in just this topic alone. But I'm going to touch on 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and do kind of a condensed version and kind of a Bob Newhart version. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Some of those things sting. They do me. It's like these were written for me. Verse 11, and such were. Such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. This but, this were, that's the good news. We were, that implies that now we are not. We are not all of these things, but this repentance. The word repentance means to change your direction, to change your direction of travel, to change your thought, to change what you're doing. We could condense this down to two words. Stop it. Stop it. There's a Bob Newhart show segment. Well, I do this and this. Well, stop it. Stop. We break the Ten Commandments. Stop it. The Two Commandments. We can't do it. But we depend on the grace of God. Remember the thief on the cross. What did he say? Remember me, Lord. He was on the cross because he deserved it. Remember the tax collector. He was in the temple. And he didn't even dare raise his eyes to heaven. He says, have mercy on me, a sinner, or the sinner. So this good news, we can overcome sin through Christ Jesus. Romans in chapter 10, it says that if we confess that Jesus is the Lord and that we believe Him, that we trust Him, we shall be saved. To confess with your mouth, that means that Jesus is on our lips, that we speak of Him, that we preach of Him, that we talk about Him. But also, we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. If somebody is holding a gun to our head, if somebody is going to shoot us or cut our heads off, Jesus is Lord. That's the kind of commitment they're talking about, because that's how it was at that time. Instead of saying Caesar is Lord, you say, you dare say that Jesus is Lord? Blasphemy. Treason. That's the kind of commitment. And we need to believe in Jesus, that we trust Him. And that we call upon Him. It says that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall. That's not maybe. That's not a might. That's a shall. This is our good news, that we can be forgiven, that we can be redeemed, we can be saved, we can be free. No longer are we dead in our sins, but we are made alive. That is indeed good news. And that is such a different counterpoint to this other gospel that I raised, that I was raised with, that I learned that you couldn't condense it down into 3 points. It was all of this, this, and this, and this, and all these duties, and this. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. That is indeed another gospel. This gospel of Christ Jesus is simple, and it's as complex as we need it to be. It speaks to children and it speaks to learned men and women. But it is indeed good news, and it is indeed a reason to celebrate. And through Christ Jesus, we are forgiven of our sins. We are given eternal life. We are made good, made right with the Father. Which brings me to the next point. It is the time when we celebrate communion. And it is a celebration. It absolutely is. It may be sobering, it may be humbling, but it is indeed a celebration. Still in 1 Corinthians, let's flip over to chapter 11, please. Starting in verse 23, here again, Paul says that he received this. For I have received of the Lord. He didn't make this up. He received it. That which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, or the covenant, in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The bread, the cup. For as often, verse 26, as you do this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So let's examine ourselves. Let's realize that we are sinners and that we are saved by God's grace and that we're really not worthy. But we believe God, and it's counted to us as righteousness, that we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day, all according to scriptures. And we believe him, or we receive him, and that we are indeed saved by grace. So it's not, this communion is not for everyone. It's for those who are owned by Jesus, for those who have been purchased by his blood, who are truly his. And if we have something that we need to repent of, let's do so now. And let's gather up the worship team. We will examine ourselves, and we will sing a song, and then we will wait for one another and take the elements of the communion together.